the rules for personal pensions and annuities from last April, and also at government proposals for state pensions in the years to come, which will raise the retirement age to 68. No doubt there'll be some people wondering what to do about schemes where the terms have been changed or which are badly underfunded. 08700 100 444 is the number to call, and I'll be here with Moneybox Live after the 3 o'clock news. That's 08700 100 444.
Vincent, thank you very much indeed. This is BBC Radio 4.
McNaughton by Steve Gooch, with Ian Hogg as Daniel McNaughton.
150 years ago, a humble woodturner could be in high demand. The lathes he worked at were getting more sophisticated. Manuals on the trade were appearing all over Europe, and the free trade favoured by Prime Minister Peel had opened up markets everywhere. Things were changing fast, and the pace was bewildering for many. The cells at the Old Bailey were rarely empty for long. It is there, after a long trial on the 4th of March 1843, one Daniel McNaughton, a woodturner from Glasgow, found himself.
I didn't know why he wouldn't have me as a partner. I mean, I worked hard, I kept my nose clean, I gave him no cause to complain. So why would he not have me as a partner? Because I was born natural, he said. Well, that's no fault of mine. How am I supposed to help a thing like that? I owe him my life. Am I to owe him my death now as well? I was his eldest. I did everything his ain boys did. And better. I was better at my craft. His craft. The craft he apprenticed me in. Better even than him in the end. He was happy enough to take me on as a journeyman, but no as a partner. And how no? I think we know the real reason. More than 4.5 years an apprentice. That's a long time for a wooden turner. I should have seen what was coming. Oh, yes. I mean, I knew I was good. And he knew I was good. And he knew I knew. Oh, yes. The truth is, he used me. I realise that now. The man just used me. And him, religious too, a bastion of the church. And to think I share his name. I mean, if I meant so little to him, why bother to give me his name? Eh? Then again, I was the first. He was not, you know, the mayor in wedlock. After. So that was what did for me, it seems. Respectability. Marriage, children, the church. Public influence. Well, in the end, I showed him. Danny, boy, I thought you're on your own. I saved my money, built up my contacts, found my own workshop, and boom! I found my own when he was least expecting it. Take that, you swine. Caught him dead in the street more than once. Far too preoccupied with weightier matters than he. I know it hurt them. It was meant to. There's no doubt I outdid him. Hands down. Nobody did the business I did. I had to put my back into it, mind. 16-17 hours a day.
But I put them in the shade!
My work was far superior. Everyone said so, always, over the whole 5 years. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They all came to me. I knew it got to him. He always protested how happy he was for me, but I know what was really going on. I know. Because I did indeed make a fortune. Oh, yes. People looked at me with surprise at first, then with a certain respect. Where did he spring from all of a sudden? We'd better watch out for him. I could have done anything then. Gone on to anything. But that wasn't the point, though, was it? The money wasn't the point.
I found that out later. Was I going to play their game? That was the real point.
If only they hadn't looked at me the way they did. People. People in general, I mean. It was like that. I don't know. It was something they were thinking. I mean, I have nothing to hide. I'm not personally ashamed of the circumstances of my birth. That's not my fault. Look what I've done since. Not many men from my station in life could have achieved what I did in that time. It was just the way they looked at you. Like they thought they could see right through you. I have nothing to hide. I'm no ashamed. I've always been steady, sober, reliable, hardworking. I kept myself to myself. No, it's not me. It's them. Why would they bother to look at me that way if they weren't up to something? And if I weren't a threat to it, whatever it was? Is that why I've ended up here? Waiting on 12 total strangers to decide if my life continues or no. Is it such a crime to keep regular hours? Stay after drink? They put your back into your work? Make sure you get your 3 squares? Keep yourself clean? Is it? Well, is it? People say I'm unusual. My habits. I don't think so. I've always been the solitary kind. Preferred my own counsel. I've always been a reader. Even at table. Well, mostly at table, as it happens. That was the yin thing. My yin vice. I got told off regular for reading at table when I was growing up. At his health. Well, hell, you'd sit there for an age waiting for everyone to arrive. And then after he said grace, you'd just sit there, saying nothing, staring into the void. Nobody spake, less mother piped up. I could have seen the point of it. To my mind, time is valuable. It's the yin thing. Even the poorest man can call his ain. It was the yin thing I could call my ain. I got into a lot of trouble over that. Later on, too, when I lived in Dix, I think they felt, well, like, jealous. Jealous of a book, indeed. And they think I'm a bit funny. Besides, your time otherwise would be just frittered away. Time when you could be finding things out. Youngsters are supposed to find things out. But he never really encouraged his legitimate children, never mind me. We learned damn all. Oh, pardon me. At that man's hearth, damn all. I was so glad to get out of there. I cannot tell you. So glad. I always read a table after that, even in my digs. I didn't care what anyone thought. Life's too short. If they talked, they talked trash anyway, so why should I worry? Lovely day today, Mr. McConaughey. Indeed it is, Mrs. Patterson. That's Mrs. Drummond Patterson to you. As if what kind of day it is isn't news. Basically, you have yin of two opinions, lovely or dreadful, and that's it. How are the children today? Oh, they're fine, Mr. McConaughey. They're always fine, as if he really cared about the noisome boy and little curs anyway. I see Mr. Wilson standing for office again. Now, that's me like it. That's what I call news. But it is also politics, of course, and we don't talk politics at table, do we? In fact, we don't talk politics anywhere. Nor economics. Just weather and children and other useless crap. And somehow we manage to pride ourselves on it and frown on anyone who doesn't. And meanwhile, the world goes down the jakes. Well, actually, I found out quite a lot reading. I learned about kings and queens. I learned about the Glorious Revolution and Oliver Cromwell. I learned about the Lawlers and the Ranters and the Diggers and the Quakers and the Shakers, and I got really interested. You didn't hear much about them anywhere else, and they seemed like my kind of people. They were my family. And then I read about money. What the word capital meant, and how it bred itself through surplus, and who profited from surplus and why. And I went to talks at the Mechanics Institute with Bill Carlow, and I thought back over my 7 years with my father, apprentice and gentleman, and how he dumped me as soon as I earned my spares. And a few things clicked into place then, I can tell you. But now, I was the one making capital. £750 in 4 years. £750 in 4 years! Hey, no, my people can say that. Not from where I started. £750, eh? Not to be sniffed at. The money wasn't the point, though, was it? You earn respect. Hello? Is this it? Finally the verdict. Live or die, Danny boy. Maybe not just yet. So what if I was a bit restless at night? You share a bed with someone, you expect a bit of a jostling. The odd kick, the odd elbow in the eye. I've been pushed out on the floor more times by that man's spawn than I care to think about. And if they hear me moaning in the middle of the night, they didn't have to listen. I get headaches, for Christ's sake. Up here. I used to think it was the noise of the machine 16 hours a day. There is nothing like the Clyde to soothe a sore head. Stick it straight in. Walk to the edge, find a bit that's still kneeled in. Stick it straight in. Instant relief. Even better if you've got time. Go for a swim. Magic. You can't say that for the Thames. Or the Seine, as I was to discover.
My God! My God! Indeed. Why would I cry out, my God, in my sleep? I do not believe in a bastard. Sorry. Oh, right, it's true. I feel sorry for myself, I admit to that. But I did not sit around wallowing in self-pity. I got up off my arse and graft at 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. £750, thank you very much. I mean, for Christ's sake, wait, pick on me! What had I ever done? Because I wouldn't go for a drink, maybe. Go for a drink and end up in trouble. The two go together quite a bit, seems to me. Or maybe it was laughing out loud in the middle of that lecture at the Institute. I didn't know where my mind was at that time. It wasn't like me. Usually I'm too intimidated by the hush of these places. The coughing and the shuffling. I was too shy, I suppose. So what put them onto me? Nothing is the answer. Nothing. I've led a blameless life. Ask anyone. Half at seven, him at seven. Dinner, bed, books. That's it. The only thing, and I've thought about this a lot, the only thing is the way I voted at that last election. Or maybe me and the others trying to change the rules at the Institute. Or maybe paying a little too much attention to the Glasgow Socialist League. Going along with Knuckle to one meeting. One meeting, mind. And buying some of what they called their literature. Coincidence, I suppose, that's when it all started. At first, it's just out of the corner of your eye. You think you're seeing things. A figure looks familiar, you've seen him before, just a minute ago. Back a few blocks. And he's still there, behind you. Then when you turn, he turns. Finds a window ever so interesting. What a coincidence. Well, others may have fallen victim, but I didn't have to. I have £750. I'm a bloody good turner. Begging your pardon. Better than them in London. I have my strength and my health. I can do what I damn well like. For example, see, I can move to Edinburgh, or to London, or even to France. Surprised? A mere wood-turner from Glasgow, off to France. And how no? They sorted out the little problems with kings and queens over there, did they know? Oh, yes, I wouldn't mind a quick look. I'm good with books. I could pick up the language. Maybe join the Republican militia? As an officer, mind. I've read enough about the army to know you didn't stand a chance unless you're an officer. You have to pay for the uniform and pistols, of course, but what the hell? You buy your own tools as a turner. I know they didn't believe I was being followed. neither of them, Dad nor my minister, and that made me wonder. It had to. In the end, I thought, fair enough, it's a strange business, it must be hard to accept. But when I got back to Dad a second and a third time with it, even after I'd been to Sheriff Allison, and he still wouldn't have believed me, then you really start to wonder, do you know? I felt I ought to tell someone. Someone ought to know what's going on. If nothing else, it's a kind of safety policy. If something happened to me, at least it'll put people on the right track. It had to be the Catholics. Well, more specifically, the Jesuits. Someone set them on me, and I'd dearly love to know who. I might have my suspicions, mind. I mean, all right, I've never been religious. Right from the start at home, I sensed it was humbug. But you go out in the world and you find landladies crossing themselves at table. Bailiffs with rosaries. I mean, bailiffs, for Christ's sake. But I still didn't know who to tell. I mean, I could go to Sheriff Bell, I suppose. But I didn't know him that well, and I didn't like to impose. Dad knows him, of course. They're in the same congregation. He loves that, of course. He loves all that. Perhaps I should try him first. Go back to the old man and try him first. See what he says. Hey, maybe that's it.
Come in. Ah, Daniel.
Well, that was a fat lot of use. He looked at me like I was a ghost, like I wasn't even there. Learn arithmetic, he says. If you want to join a counting house. I didn't know where that came from all of a sudden. But he was always like that all my life, putting obstacles in the way. So, what do? Repeat myself like I was a kid. I could hear myself, and I could see it in his face. He started to find it strange that I was pressing him on this again, so no chance of an introduction to Sheriff Bell after all. Well, that's no problem. I've done pretty well without his help before. I can do it again.
Come in.
It's the way they speak, dear. At first, you think it's concern. Did they accost you? Did anyone see? Then you realize it's no concern about whether you'll be believed. It's because they themselves didn't believe you.
Come in.
I think the sheriff has me doing us daft, too. Of course it would have seemed less far-fetched if by this time the Jesuits hadn't roped the Tories in as well. But what can you do if those are the facts?
Ah, Daniel.
How else do you explain his absolute 100% refusal to even contemplate the facts? From your own family, such as it is, through your minister and your MP? All the way up to the Lord Provost of Glasgow.
Come in. Ah, Daniel.
How do you explain the Lord Provost of Glasgow? Hey? It's so obvious, is it? No. Someone must be getting in first. Someone must be speaking to the people before I do, putting them off me. Saying I'm off my chump or some such. I mean, even my landlady, Mrs. Patterson, Mrs. Drummond Patterson, note. How does she come casually to ask if I think the Queen's visit to Scotland has made any difference to trade? How all of a sudden is this woman, through whose lips pass nothing but inanities, suddenly so interested in trade in Scotland? I tell you how.
It's because it's no trade, it's me. That's what she's interested in. What do I think? And what's suddenly so important about me? You guessed it. Word, as they say, has got around. Of course, I let her know I knew. I just asked point blank if anyone had said anything against me. I saw her eyes flicker. So then, I had to put her off the scent. I asked if she had a book of extracts from the Bible. And I complimented her on her children. Told her how much I loved watching them at play. How I could watch them for hours. Their innocence and all. Kind of backfired on me, that one. So anyway, there I was charging round the assorted authorities of Glasgow, getting nowhere with any of them, and in the end I found myself going back to Dad.
Come in.
This time, he had that look in his eyes from the start. He barely listened. I could tell. I told him I thought they'd got the Sheriff Bill. Auntie Sheriff Allison, who also went to, and one of them must have put the commissioner up to it, because it was the same when I saw him. So, who's left? Your bishop? Your MP? I will try them again, believe me. I won't let this lie. But even our MP, you see, when I saw him first time round...
Come in.
I mean, I liked him. Didn't get me wrong. I found him a sympathetic listener. The most sympathetic of all of them, as it happens.
Ah, Daniel.
May be worried about my vote, but who cares? In the end, they're all the same. They simply won't believe you. It's like they need someone else to agree with you first. They've named minds of their own. I know for a fact the Lord Provost asked my father to go see him. But the bastard never turned up. He never turned up. It was the trick question undid me, I think. Could I point these spies out? Oh, sure. And then they know I'm onto them. I'm getting the hang of this game, believe me. I'm at my wit's end with it all, I tell ye. I'm starting to doubt myself. I know Mrs. Patterson, Mrs. Drummond Patterson, of course. I know she thought I had a problem. She even asked me to leave. Yeah, I said it was because I was smoking in the middle of the night. But I was going to leave anyway, sooner or later. Leave Glasgow and get down here to London. And I was damned if I was going to give her the pleasure of seeing me out of my ear. All because of my pursuers. She might have been in league with them for all I know. In fact, that wouldn't surprise me. Oh, no. I must be careful. Or I'll start proving them right. Then I would be insane. Oh, God, that's what they think. They think I'm insane. They all think I'm off my jump. Oh, hell, what am I going to do? Get down to London fast, after France even. Anyway, just to get away from them round here, if it makes any difference. Tell a few people first. Some McCorrigan, Bill Carlo, people I can trust, in case these others, these, whatever they are, get after me. But that's what I'll do. I'll get down to London, then maybe on to France and join the army. Why no? Better buy the pistols before I go. I heard they have to match if you're seeking a commission. But leave Glasgow. That's the main thing.
for all the good that did. They must have followed me down here. I couldn't get a job anywhere, in spite of my qualifications, or perhaps because of them. And of course, I wasn't going to ask the old man for a reference. I mean, it didn't have to be drudgery. I would have been willing to put money into the right thing. I mean, it was all very speculative. And France was a disaster. I couldn't make myself understood, so I stood no chance with their money. And buying food, I just got thinner and dirtier and scruffier, so the army was a dead loss. What a waste of money those pistols were. Just drew suspicion on me. And then I realised they'd followed me here too. Peeping out from behind the customs house on the quay at Boulogne. When I got back here, Mrs. Patterson found the pistols. I said they were for shooting birds. But the food seemed to change after that, you know. Like she was putting something in it. Well, the truth is, I love birds. I always put a few crumbs in my pocket when I go out. You talk to people, they look at you like you're no there. I swear it's made me ill. I have these really bad pains in the chest, a kind of burning sensation. The truth is, they follow you everywhere. They're quite brazen about it now. They even point and laugh at me. One of them even shook his fist. Another had this bundle of straw under his arm and threw some at me. Well, you know what that means, do you know? Sleeping on straw in the loony bin. They're threatening to reduce me to that. Well, they've a way to go yet. I even took to sleeping in the fields. I was afraid to go home. But they never actually speak to me. They never actually dare look me in the eye and speak to me. Not that I'm all that good at that myself. I find it difficult to look at people, you know. It's the way they look back. When I went back to Father and told him again I could see, he didn't believe me.
Daniel. Come in.
I wouldn't mind if it was only me this was happening to, but I know there are others all over Glasgow. By the time I got back, it was everywhere. It's the Tories, I know it is. They've thrown us into war, put skilled people out to work with their free trades. It's like Prime Minister Peel wants to be more like the other side than they are themselves. And now, there's this network of spies again, me. But what proof do I have? Look, I'm not a political person, apart from that once at the Institute. I keep myself to myself, and that includes my opinions. I mean, even now, who knows? Who really knows? Oh, God, no. Oh, please, no. Who else could it be? Mrs. Patterson once, just when she was being particularly free with her opinions. Mrs. Drummond Patterson, as I later discovered. Another coincidence, I suppose. God, I've been blind. The man on the street in London, Mr. Peel's secretary, Mr. Edward Drummond. Drummond, note. scowling at me. He knew, they all knew, from my old man to the minister, from the vicar to my MP, from my MP to Sheriff Bell, from Sheriff Bell to Sheriff Allison, from Allison to the Lord High Provost, and from him to the Jesuits, the Catholics and the Tories, from whom it's a small step to Mrs. Patterson. Mrs. Drummond Patterson and Mr. Edward Drummond, a Scottish name, not then to Sir Robert Peel himself. So suddenly there I am at the end of Downing Street, where all the trouble stems from when you come down to it. 15 nights in a row. Waiting. Oh, my God. Did you see that? Was that him? Did you see the scowl that man gave me? It must be him. What's that? Oh, even an officer. No, not just waiting for a friend. That's a regular thing. That's cold for the time of year, is it not? Good night. Oh, my God, it is cold too. Oh, hell, it's the scowler coming back. Must have forgot something. Now's your chance, Danny boy. Revenge is sweet. Oh, quick, Danny. Cut that damn pistol. Oh, my hands are so cold. Oh. Oh, my God, what have I done?
God.
He shall not break my peace of mind any longer.
I've no doubt he was behind it all. In that moment, every feeling of suffering I'd ever had rose up inside me. I felt I'd really find peace by killing him. Whoever he was. I was advised to say I was mad. Like a grinding of the mind. That's the only way I can describe what I felt. Mr. Colin Humphreys strongly recommended I plead insanity. Mr. Clarkson and Mr. Coburn agreed. The prosecution could find no medical witness to speak to the contrary, but the court still managed to laugh at the psychological expert. You could tell they needed to laugh at him. Well, I think we know who's had the last laugh there. Did I know who I'd shot indeed? It was Sir Robert, wasn't it? Like I'd made a mistake. Well, I had made a mistake. I got caught.
Silence in court!
And anyway, I find this whole business demeaning. Sure, it was a mistake. Sure, I shot not the Prime Minister, but his private secretary, Mr. Edward Drummond, to you. But not because I was mad, thank you very much, but because it was dark. The man came up on me too quick. So why did they keep going on about it?
It was then I realised this was a loaded question. Not just a pedantic quibble. The record had to be set straight. Was I to be guilty or insane? My very life hung upon the matter. Time to be canny, Danny. So, was it Sir Robert or no? In the end, I said I didn't know. That seemed the safest.
Silence in court!
Later on, when I got used to their questions, I worked out what it was best to say. I was guilty of firing the pistol, but no of intent to murder. A subtle difference, but it's enough. And it was true. Not intending to murder that scowling bastard Drummond anyway. If only I could have learned the French. It was a real surprise to me. But it wouldn't stick. I couldn't speak it. Always had difficulty in the speaking up department. Never really learned to ask for anything. You know, something you really, really want. Speak when you're spoken to. That was always the rule. So there you are. They even managed to stop me learning the one thing I needed in order to get on over there. The truth is, they have driven me into consumption. I used to have good health and strength. Could I have made £750 in so short a time if I'd been a sickly person? I do not think so, my lord. What people need to understand is that none of this need to happen. I didn't ask to be born illegitimate. I didn't ask to work hard only to be passed over as a partner. I didn't ask to be ostracized for making money and to be chased and jeered at and spat at. Ask anyone at all, they will all say what they said at my trial upstairs. I am a quiet person, inoffensive, sober, prudent, thrifty, always paid for my washing on time, kept myself to myself, except now I cannot stand the bastards anymore. Ask the weavers out of work in Glasgow. I mean, I have evidence of these people's misdeeds. While they seek evidence of my intent, I have evidence of their deeds. They're plain for all the world to see. Is what's good for the goose, nay, good for the gander? I mean, at least we have evidence. Which is more than can be said for some.
On the 4th of March, 1843, Daniel McNaughton was found not guilty of murdering Edward Drummond, private secretary to the Prime Minister Sir Robert Peel, on grounds of insanity. On the 15th of March, he was committed to Bethlehem Royal Hospital, where he lived for a further 22 years. The rules governing McNaughton's trial consequently set a precedent, which for over a century became enshrined as the McNaughton Rules.
In McNaughton by Steve Gooch, the part of Daniel McNaughton was played by Ian Hogg, and the other voices by Tom George. The play was directed by Penny Gold, and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 4.
Well, the news is next here on BBC Radio 4, after which Moneybox Live will be taking your calls about pensions. The number to call, 08700 100 444.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 3 o'clock. The former Russian spy, poisoned in London, has been moved to intensive care. Doctors say there's been a slight deterioration in Alexander Litvinenko's condition. The Kremlin has dismissed as utter nonsense claims that it ordered the attack because of his strong dissident views. Speaking outside his hospital in London, Mr. Litvinenko's friend, Alex Goldfarb, said detectives were taking the investigation seriously.
They spoke to me yesterday about his background back in Russia, whom he knows. So they're doing a very thorough job. It's a really serious and thorough investigation.
The British Airways check-in worker, who was told she couldn't wear a cross over her uniform, has lost an appeal against the ruling. Nadia Iweda has been on unpaid leave since the controversy began last month. She said that if Muslim women can wear scarves, she should be able to wear a cross. But Jeff Want from BA says anything that can be hidden under a uniform should be.
We have 34,000 staff around the world who have a consistent approach to British Airways. We say within that that no personal jewellery of any sort can be worn. We make no judgment between religious jewellery or fashion jewellery. If we were to, then we could discriminate against a particular group, and we don't wish to do that.
Scientists from the Royal Society and the Academy of Medical Sciences have criticised the government's plans to deal with a possible outbreak of flu. The experts say ministers should stockpile more than one type of antiviral drug. One of the five missing child sex...